Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Rebecca, and I will be your host for today's Hinckley Forum. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Nobel Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships for students of all majors here locally, in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. The Institute also offers classes, our nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences to Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door to our office or online at hinckley.utah.edu for more information. The title of today's forum is Politics and Social Media, How Tweet It Is. I will now turn the time over to Stephanie Bohr with the University of Utah's Communications Department, who will introduce our guest. Stephanie?
Thank you. So nice to be here. Yes, I'm with the Communication Department. I'm a graduate teaching fellow over there. And today's presentation is made possible by a grant that I received through Scripps Howard Foundation and AEJMC. And what it was an industry academic exchange. And so for 2 weeks, I spent, so over the summer, I had the opportunity to spend 2 weeks at C-SPAN learning everything I could about their communications, their media, and especially with an emphasis on their social media. So I got to go in and watch them do Facebooking and tweeting and all that in live time. It was an amazing experience. One of the highlights was I got to, and this was actually at their headquarters in Washington, D.C. I got to be there when they were making their plans for communications and marketing for the election, got to be involved in all the meetings. So it was a really great experience. And that's where I met Howard Mortman, the communication director. And so since I spent 2 weeks there over the summer, it was now their turn to come to our school for a week and learn what we do here and share experience from the professional world. So I'm going to introduce Howard. He's the communication director for C-SPAN, which is the nation's nonprofit public affairs cable TV network. Howard is responsible for expanding awareness of C-SPAN and C-SPAN programs and initiatives in the media, both traditional and new and social media. His prior positions in the DC media world have included producer for Hardball with Chris Matthews on MSNBC, which included producing MSNBC's election night coverage. He was also the editor of the National Journal's Hotline, which is the daily political news briefing, and the senior advisor to the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which is the U.S. government agency which manages America's international broadcasting efforts. And then immediately prior to his work at C-SPAN, Howard launched and directed the public affairs for the Northern Virginia company New Media Strategies, which specializes in online intelligence and word of mouth for its clients. So thank you so much for coming, Howard. I'm going to turn the table over for you.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. It's very important that we do this with as much audience participation. So let me kick it off with a question for everybody here. Show of hands, how many people here want to be here, and then how many people here are here under duress or being told to be here? So how many people here voluntarily came today to... That is great. That's wonderful. Look at that, show of hands. How many people don't really want to be here, but were told they need to be here today? Couple? Okay. You're still welcome to participate. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your honesty. I'm Howard Mortman with C-SPAN. I'm the communications director there, and I know we want to cover a lot of ground today, talking about social media and kind of the lay of the land. But it might be easier. What I want to kind of do is just open up with talking about what C-SPAN is, our place in the media political world, and then kind of then go into more talk about social media these days. So let me ask somebody, who knows what C-SPAN is, and can you describe it for everybody? Where have you, who's heard of C-SPAN before today? Go ahead, you raise your hand first.
I don't know, I always just see coverage on it, it's like senators are the Congress.
Okay.
Meeting together, I don't know if I know what they're doing, maybe passing bills, but I've seen it.
Not bad. Do you watch C-SPAN?
No.
Okay. Who here knows what it is and watches it too? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Tell me what it is.
It's open coverage of all any type of open hearings on the Hill, and just the basic coverage. There's really no bias.
Good.
Per se. It's just straightforward information.
Perfect. Perfect. Love the use of the word open in there, and I'll go into that in a second. C-SPAN, we cover what is happening in public affairs in Washington. Our bread and butter is coverage of Congress. We began in 1979 with coverage of the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. And in 1986, we expanded to include coverage of the U.S. Senate. It's gavel to gavel, what is happening on the floor in both chambers. And it's not... What C-SPAN is not for everybody. You know, we are one of many hundreds of cable channels out there, but we are—we exist as a public affairs network to basically connect Americans with their government and to show what is happening. For those who know what C-SPAN is, here's another question: how much money do we get from the federal government, or are we? Do we get any money from the federal government or from any government? The answer is no. We don't. There's no money involved at all. No connection to the government itself. We are a private, non-profit company, created by the cable industry back in '79, and we cover government. We cover government officials, but we are not part. We are not funded by them, and we don't want to be funded by them. We are part of the independent media. In '79, the U.S. House of Representatives, after a long internal debate, decided to put itself on TV. And they installed cameras in the House chambers, and they flicked on the switch in March of 1979, and we put the feed on C-SPAN of what was happening. And among the first people who spoke that day in the floor of the House was Al Gore and several other congressmen, and we've been showing the feed from the floor itself for 33 years now. Those aren't our cameras in the floor. Those are the cameras controlled and operated by the House of Representatives itself. We would love, going to your great use of the word open, we would love to add our cameras to the mix, and we've asked for that for many years, and both parties have always said no to adding independent media cameras. 1986 rolls around, and the U.S. Senate, for 7 years then, have been saying, well, look, all these members of the House are famous because they're on TV all the time. Why don't we get famous too? You know, why aren't we on TV? So, 1986, the U.S. Senate does the same thing. They turn on their cameras, and we put the feed from the U.S. Senate chamber floor coverage on C-SPAN 2. We create a whole network devoted to that. So, at that point, 1986, we have two networks going. We have C-SPAN 1, gavel-to-gavel coverage of the U.S. House on the floor, C-SPAN 2, 1986, gavel-to-gavel coverage of the U.S. Senate. We are committed to showing that. And again, going to what you said about no opinions, it is our mission to present just what is happening in its entirety, an event that we are covering, without adding any of our own opinions about politics or about who's up or who's down. We have no correspondents, no reporters. We're unlike any other network, cable network, in that we don't interject our own voice, our own reporting, our own analysis. We leave that to the events we cover and also to callers. And from the very beginning, it's been very important that we include the audience, Americans calling in to our morning call-in program, Washington Journal, to hear what they say about what's happening in the news and give them a chance to talk to members of Congress we are interviewing or members of the media and give them a chance to express their attitude and their short burst of opinion and have that responded to. That's the only time you'll hear an opinion is the people we cover or the voices so that we hear. We have a third network now. C-SPAN 3 began about 12 years ago, and that's for additional coverage of Washington. Hearings, think tank events, same concept. We send a camera crew down to a hearing. Now, we said that when you cover the House and we cover the Senate, that's not our cameras, but on the floor. But when you cover a hearing, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee or the House Budget Committee, those are our cameras that we send, and we share that footage with our colleagues in the network news business. On the weekends, book C-SPAN 2. We turned it over to Book TV coverage of nonfiction books, 2 days, straight days of coverage of authors, author events, interview programs about nonfiction books, such as history and biography. That's on C-SPAN 2. On C-SPAN 3, we cover American history for 2 days every Saturday and Sundays. As Book TV is on C-SPAN 2. American History TV, same concept for history junkies, is on C-SPAN 3. Among our bread and butter coverage is campaign, Road to the White House. We just, and Stephanie was there right at the height of us, as she mentioned, planning for the convention. Gavel-to-gavel coverage of both conventions, sending crews out to cover the primaries and covering the caucuses leading up to the nomination. Same concept, almost like cinema verite. We show up, we show events of Mitt Romney or Barack Obama or the candidates speaking at town halls or different events, breakfast, and we have our cameras there, and we stay out of the way. We just show what's happening. Let me pause for a second. Does that sound interesting to people here, that kind of TV? Does anybody here like it or say, I want to watch that nonstop and I never want to turn that off? Or was anybody here, Dr. Chambers, why do you raise your hand? Why would you like to watch something like that?
I guess I'm addicted.
Why are you addicted to C-SPAN, Doctor?
I'm addicted to news and I'm addicted to the format. I have enjoyed the format since 1979.
Very good. Thank you. This is not for everybody, and I readily admit I watch it all the time, not just because I'm a geek and I actually love watching this, but you know, and not because it's just my job, but I actually, there is a big segment of a number of Americans who want to see what their government is up to, want to see how their politicians are spending their money. For those people, this is of great interest, and you know, with such weighty issues being discussed now, you know, we appeal to the segment of the population that wants to, that just wants to be connected to what's happening in Washington. So that's why we exist. Again, no government money. We are funded by the cable industry, which means that in your cable bill, 5 cents of every per subscriber goes to fund C-SPAN, the operations. Budget roughly of $50 to $55 million a year. Sounds like a lot, very little to put on TV. You know, if we are about a nickel a subscriber, goes into our budget. ESPN, HBO, probably about $2 or $3 a subscriber. In the world of cable, you know, we have a very targeted niche world. We don't have, you know, the marketing dollars of the other big cable networks. We don't want it. Well, I guess we do want it, but you know, we recognize that we're a nonprofit. And by the way, when we talk about the way we're structured as a corporation, we're nonprofit. And this is a very important point. We're not a profit because we don't sell advertising. When you watch C-SPAN, you'll never see an ad. When you watch any other TV network, you do see ads all the time. And we are built so that there's no advertising, so when your local cable system runs us, they don't have ad inserts against us. So it's not in the technical term charity, but it's that kind of they're donating their time on their cable networks to showing C-SPAN, and in return, you know, they don't have ads. And one thing that's interesting about us, we don't have ratings, so I can't tell you how many people are watching us. We are in 100 million households, but in terms of who is watching any particular time period, I don't know. We don't know. We don't want to know because there's no need for us to have that information. It's a different model. If any of you want to go into TV or broadcasting, it's a very ratings-driven kind of world, and we don't have that. And we also, you know, as a result, don't have the competitive pressures of the other cable networks. Who's up? Who's down? Who's up in the ratings? You know, Keith Olbermann versus Bill O'Reilly. We don't have those kind of mega personalities. It gives us a chance to, if we don't have to look at ratings constantly, gives us a chance to really try out new ways of bringing coverage of just showing events in D.C. for their value and for the information that they provide, and no need at all to say, well, this will sell. You know, people will tune in and it'll spike our ratings and so on. We don't have those kind of pressures. You know, this is, you know, so that's, if you're looking for pure information, that is our niche in the world. Before I go on, any big picture questions about C-SPAN itself? And I'm going to go into more. I know people here, you're here to learn about social media. Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious about the funding.
Yeah.
So the funding, why you drive it.
I was just curious, if you were to take government funding, if you think that they might have some, or might try to have more influence over the things you did, or so it wouldn't be so open, it wouldn't be as unbiased as it is right now?
You've answered your question, and the reason is just flat out, big picture philosophical reason. We don't want government money because we don't want the government telling us what to cover. We're able to do this through the private sector as a nonprofit, and it's actually a great tribute to the entrepreneurial world that we exist and that we've continued to exist with private funding for 33 years. When you introduce government money, it completely changes the dynamic. The number one reason is the one you cited, because a chairman of a House or Senate committee can call up and demand you cover their hearing, and that change, that's, then you don't have the editorial independence. We decide what we cover. We have a what we call a shoot meeting every day at 3 o'clock. Our editorial team, professional media journalists, decide. You know, we have a limited number of camera crews. We have 10 camera crews we could send out tomorrow. Here's where we want to send to. You don't have that freedom if you have purse strings attached to the process. And actually, fortunately, they've never really wanted to fund us. You know, they've always, throughout the years, they've members of Congress have been quizzical about how we do fund things and our decision, editorial decision-making process. But we do have, it's all done independently of the government. With great success. I mean, it is coming from Washington, you don't have many initiatives or startups anymore that really are free of government funding in any way. And to do this in the media for 33 years, it's a success story. So, but that, thank you for that question. Wonderful question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For those of us who don't get cable, do you stream online, Joe?
We do. The question is, do we stream online? And I'm going to pull up. Forgive me if Control Alt 1 second. I'm going to show you. Control Alt Delete. Where's the delete? Control. What am I missing? Let me try this. I'm missing the leaf. Here it is. Control Alt. Okay. The answer is we do. Our website. Our website, we stream, live stream everything we're showing. The three channels, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's all live streamed online. On cspan.org, on our website. Your question is a great question, because it's not, there's a, that became, we were the first network to put our whole network online for live streaming. This was done back in, 96 or 97. We were the first. Our coverage of the 2000 convention was the first convention that was live streamed. You don't need to be in front of a cable TV in order to see that. And that was, that's a philosophical decision made by the cable companies to recognize the importance of the internet and the emerging technologies and take advantage of it. So let me thank you very, very much. Let me see if I can quickly show you all. And I'm going to show you one other really cool thing. I'm logging in, I'm calling up cspan.org, and I'm going to show you right here, going right to a live, forgive me here, come on. Okay, I can get it. There it is. C-SPAN 2, C-SPAN 3, and then we're just going to go right there. And live video, it's going to pull up. No charge to this, free. And that is what's happening. Looks like, I don't know if y'all can hear this. Let me go back up a second. Okay, good. Floor of the House, right now, live on C-SPAN, general speeches. So it's, they're actually working pretty late tonight, so it's 5:30 back in D.C. And so we show the floor as it's happening. If you're going to, how many people here want to go to TV, by the way? Let me just ask, or go to the broadcasting world. We have one of our biggest problems, and we readily admit this, and I'm going to go to C-SPAN 2 now to show you, is our schedule. And this is kind of interesting because when you're planning a network, the worst thing to do is not know what's on your network. And we have committed to showing the House and the Senate. Oh, here we go. This will be fun. Who doesn't love a Senate quorum call? All right, we're going to use this as a launching off pad to go into social media. I love this. I love Senate quorum calls. Sorry, my geeking out for everybody here. Quick thing. All right, so we're showing, this is the Senate floor up here, live on C-SPAN 2. Quorum call, debatable whether it's live or not, whether they're doing anything. I'll go into this in a second. All right. So when you run a network, basically, you know what you're going to be, if you're HBO, you know what you're going to be showing 6 months from now. And on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, Boardwalk Empire, you know, Treme, C-SPAN, we don't know what we're showing tonight. And we don't know that because the House is in session to an undetermined time till they gavel out at the end of the day. Senate here, C-SPAN 2, we don't know when this is going to end. So this is like the worst way to program a network. We don't know what we're going to show afterwards, but this is what we do. So it's fun. It drives our people and programming ops crazy because we know the programs are going to show on afterwards, but when is this going to end? Who knows? But it's great because this is what we do. So who knows what's happening here? Who can describe? Any fellow government junkies here can describe what we're showing right now. Stephanie, what's happening on the floor of the Senate right now?
Oh,
and it's debatable if anything is happening at all. And Dr. Chambliss, you're welcome to weigh in and describe what's happening right now if you want to. Tell us what a Senate quorum call is, then, Dr. Chambliss.
Right now, what's happening is there are lights.
We see a series of lights and buzzes that are going on in the offices of the Senate, both in all three Senate office buildings, and they usually have 15 minutes to hurry, usually by rail underground, to get to the Senate floor. Now, looking at this, I can't see the timing on it right now, but that's usually the operating
Good.
Procedure. As you indicated, this is getting close to dinner time, and they're as free as they think they are.
Perfectly done. This is the floor of the Senate right now. A Senate quorum call is calling all the senators together for a vote. It's okay to look at this and say, nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. Other than waiting for them, I think you need 10 to have a quorum. And it's dinner time, yes, it all plays in. It's also a procedural maneuver to see the slow things down. I saw the Johnson books back here, back in the great civil rights battles in the 50s in the Senate, evoking cloture. If you're reading about the fascinating time in history of the Senate and the filibuster, this isn't that, but it's kind of an outgrowth of the legislative process. Nothing's happening here. So I don't know if you can you all hear the music? You can't hear. Okay. There's music on the background. It's classical music. So what we do at C-SPAN is we play classical music while this is happening. Why? Okay, let me quiz you all. Why would we play music? So I just said earlier, am I contradicting myself here? I said we don't get involved editorially what's happening. You know, we show what's happening on the floor. But they're not playing classical music on the floor of the Senate right now. So why would we as a TV network insert ourselves like this? And it's a very practical reason we would do something. Go ahead.
Maybe for those places that have the programming on, such as an office, maybe it's for that. It's a background noise.
That's not bad. It's not. It's in a ballpark. It's in a ballpark. Yes, sir.
I guess I'll say without the microphone. So people that are watching at home know that there's nothing going on. It's not like your equipment isn't working.
That's it. You've nailed it. That is the answer. That's exactly the answer. People don't think their TV is broken. Because there has to be something going on TV. Exactly right. That's why we play the music. So we've been playing the music for years. Senate quorum call. By the way, you're wondering how often is the Senate in quorum call? It's about 30% of the time this session, the Senate, or 28%. The Senate has been doing Oh, look at that, a little action there. All right, I talked too long because I wanted to show it to you what was underneath that. All right, think back a second. It's not there now. They've come to motion here. A moment ago, you saw a big box that showed tweets from senators. So we've been playing music. 2 years ago, we added a new feature, which I love, and that's to show tweets from members of Congress. So we have now added another element of action. We have about, I would say, a list of about 400 members of Congress, senators and congressmen, who tweet, and we show that so people can see what they're talking about in social media at the time. Another way to show activity, but also another way to connect the audience with what's happening in Washington. So let me pause this. Let me turn to this. So Senator Sanders is now taking the floor, and we're showing that. One other thing I'm going to show you while we're online here, and then I promise we'll go a little bit more into social media, what C-SPAN does, and I'll take more questions in a second. We have put online not just the live stream, but when this pulls up, the entire history of C-SPAN is online. About 190,000 hours, this will pull up, I promise, is in our archives, our video library. No other network has done this. So if you want, and this is great for in the academic world, for students, for professors who want to research Congress or want to research anything that happened in Washington, it goes back. You're guaranteed of going back to 1987, 25 years. In many cases, we have tapes before that. So you can search anything in here. I'll just do a quick, easy search of a you can see our coverage of President Obama. And I'll do this really fast. Thank you. Did it again. Thank you. All right. So when you're working on your papers and you're doing papers in history or politics, make sure you go into our video library because you can see everything we've aired on all the three networks are searchable, and I will pull this up in a second, and archivable. This is going back to the question of what's online. It's all online, and it's free, no registration, no advertising. There's nobody dancing about mortgages when you click on like you do the other sites and all that. And it's all, if you have a faster connection, you'll be able to clip and share with friends, have all the programs. So I want to go in. Any other questions about C-SPAN before we move on to the social media side of things? Yeah, go ahead. And we could spend more time on this, too. Yes, sir.
Two questions, and maybe you're going to talk about this, but do you have an app for C-SPAN? And my second question, what are your plans for expanding?
For expanding, like more programming?
Yeah.
What a great question. The app question, yes. Through C-SPAN Radio, we have our radio station. It's 90.1 in D.C., but it's also on the web. And, yes, so if you are downloading for your iPhone, for Android, if any BlackBerry, remember the BlackBerry from years ago, and I don't know if that's come and gone already, but yes, so you can download for free the app and hear the network streamed live as you walk around the campus, and you're welcome to skateboard and dance to anything you hear on C-SPAN, but yes, you can hear it on the app. Expansion, I would love it. I don't think the market bears it right now. We're lucky to have, you know, it's one of these things where we're just everyday blessed that we have three networks that we can show. Is there room for a fourth? I'm sure there is room for a fourth network. The cable world is a very competitive world of people coming up with great ideas for new channels constantly. It's a very competitive environment. I don't know, in this day and age, would C-SPAN be able to exist if we were just starting out today as it did 33 years ago? The business dynamics have changed, which is fine. I mean, it's all, you know, it's a capitalist system, and, you know, if you have a product out there that makes money, cable systems will run that. So, but what we can expand is online and the great resources of social media. And I'll go into that in a second, how we can augment our coverage, but thank you for that. There's another question over here. Yes, sir.
My question is, does C-SPAN do anything to encourage people to watch it and to access this pure information, as you say?
Yeah, so it's actually part of my job. We don't have an extensive marketing budget. We have a very simple message. Watch it, become informed, and part of the message is to thank cable for letting people know that it's through the cable industry that C-SPAN exists. So our marketing efforts are connecting around programming. Watch our coverage of the convention. Watch our different feature productions. We are in February. We're launching a new original series on the First Ladies. We're going to go through the next 2 years. Every Monday night, we're going to feature one of the First Ladies, and we're going to do it in two parts. We'll be doing advertising around that to spread the word. We did a series called The Contenders a year ago, which was talking about people who ran for office for president, didn't make it, lost, but nevertheless changed American history. We do advertising around and promotions around those kind of feature productions. But yes, we are looking more online. Actually, let me talk a little bit about what we do socially and online. So, you know, in a world, your question is like, do you expand? Well, we're limited in what we can do in the cable world. Our core product remains cable TV. It's all about connecting people to what's happening on television. But for us, the world of social media, of Twitter and Facebook, and Stephanie was part of this team when she was out there, gives us great opportunity to really expand how we can connect with people. And there's no question, if we want to connect with younger people, we have to go where they are. And where they are is in social media. And so what we do, and the same rules apply for us socially that do in our core TV product, and that's going back to none of our own opinions, straight news here, you know, just subject, verb, object. Here is what you're watching live on the Senate floor right now, a debate. Fortunately, Twitter, actually, with limiting it to 140 characters, you don't have room for adjectives anyway, so it actually lends itself well to us. But we, you know, we constantly are looking at what we're tweeting out to make sure there's no editorial voice in that. And, you know, just like everybody else in the media world, you know, we find great value in connecting with people through Twitter and Facebook. Two primary ways we use it, and they're a little different how we use Twitter and how we use Facebook. For Twitter, it's more real-time in what's happening right now. You know, here is what we're showing. Here's the video, a link to our video library. If you missed the program, here's where you can see it. You can go here to our online resources. We talked about the terrible time we have with scheduling. Twitter lends itself great to overcoming that, to overcome the obstacle of saying, watch Jay Carney's press conference at the White House at 2 o'clock today, or watch John Boehner's press briefing with Hill Media at 3 o'clock today. It's a great way to really let people know about scheduling. Facebook, complimentary, but we use it a little differently. It's more audience engagement. We'll post questions, provocative questions that are concurrent with what we are posting on our morning program, Washington Journal. What are your thoughts on the fiscal cliff? Does Washington have the solutions? Should Dr. Rice be the next Secretary of State? And we'll post those kind of questions on Facebook. And I'll put that up here. And it is a wonderful, we have found it to be a wonderful tool for engaging the audience that way, all the while driving home the point that this is a program, you know, this is connected to what's on TV at the time. Just on a practical matter, we try to post at least once, if not twice a day, and it's always to solicit audience engagement. I'm going to show you. So here is here's some good examples. I can click up. We get typically about 700 or 800 comments on a fairly good day. Some days we get, you know, when we post video of President Obama's re-election, when he got re-elected, you know, we get, you know, 2,000 comments on there. We do polls for people, who you're going to vote for, those kind of things. Facebook is a great tool for us to engage. It's not as big. Now, you find, you know, a lot of the networks or even political groups get many more users and likes and all the metrics. And that's because, very simple reason, again, you know, we're not out to grab you by the lapels and say, you know, watch this amazing video, you know, or can you believe you said this? This is not gotcha social media. Some of the best practices that people teach you about using Twitter and Facebook, we can't use because that goes outside our mission. So it's been, you know, very safe, just throwing out the facts there. That's right, don't worry. Let me pause here again. Any other questions so far about our use of social media? And then we can also talk about any broader questions about how the media itself. And I want to get a temperature for what the students here want to hear, because we can talk also about, you know, if you want to go the direction of how the media itself is using social media, how that's changed the dynamics of practical politics. All right, so why are we using social media? We're using it to connect your audience. Why are other reporters using social media? It's really interesting to see how it's changed reporting. Journalism students here. Let me just see who's studying journalism communications. All right. Can I get if any ideas from people? Raise your hands on how the media, why the media is embracing social media. Why the media? Why isn't the elder reporters who have made bundles of money being on TV or reporting, why would they tweet? Any thoughts about the value of social media?
I think it's just because people check their Twitter and their Facebook periodically throughout the day, and they don't just stick to a newscast that happens, you know, maybe three or four times a day. So if information happens, they want to be able to get out there the quickest and best way possible.
That's great. That's great. Any other? Yes, sir.
Probably along the same lines, you want to reach to the broadest audience possible, you know, so your ratings and everything else will go up. So,
yeah. That's good. 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 Yes, sir.
I think there's a heavy emphasis of reporters and journalists branding themselves.
Branding,
and Twitter and Facebook are a perfect application for branding oneself.
Yep.
I think another thing that it does is it's the new way to break news. Everybody can break news on Facebook and Twitter. Immediately when it's happening, they can take video, they can post pictures, and it's a lot faster than anything else we've ever had access to.
All these answers are absolutely right on target. If you watch the debates, and if you watch, I watched, you know, as just a political junkie, I watched the debates, and I had my tweet deck open. I was watching on Twitter, and it's amazing the conversation that's occurring with the reporters themselves involved in their conversation. You know, and if you're all probably experts in this, and how to, you know, you just follow the people you want to follow. And you could really watch during the three plus the VP debate how the media gets involved in shaping the conversation immediately. There's no more spin room. Spin rooms used to have these set up after debates, and you would go in, and the spokesman for the campaigns would march in to the gymnasium after debate, and the reporters there saying, "What do you think of the debate? You know, who won? Who lost?" That's all done immediately in real time, and it's amazing to watch that dynamic. Didn't happen. That wasn't the case 4 years ago. Question: issues of branding, right on target, and a new way to reach audiences. Exactly right. The days of the 6:30 or 7 o'clock evening news are well behind us. They still get a lot of eyeballs, but these reporters are constantly in the social media world, breaking stories, shaping the conversation, and the branding word is the best word of all, because they are under pressure as well to have a social media to have a presence there, so they can therefore connect with the audience, and the networks want to see that. You know, as an aside, you know, sometimes now it is more common. Hollywood does the same thing. They'll want to bring actors or actresses to a movie. In the movie, I'm trying to remember, Battleship, that was out half a year ago. Rihanna, if I have the name right, was one of the actresses. First time she was ever appeared in a movie. Why did they hire her? Well, she has 2 million followers on Twitter. So she can tweet about her appearing in a movie. Same thing in the media. You know, reporters are under pressure from their editors. I want you to expand the number of people who see you and link to your stories and need to be involved in that world as well. It's a great way to sell eyeballs, a great way to sell the stories, and to be involved. And it really has, you know, the concept of real-time reaction to the news. And it's changed campaigns, and it's changed candidates. Candidates and politicians are constantly now being watched like never before, even a year ago. If I was here a year ago or 2 years ago, you know, we were just getting our feet wet and watching this. But they're constantly being monitored, and the slightest mistake or the slightest, odd thing that happens gets mentioned immediately. Let me ask everybody here, is that a good thing or a bad thing, the influence of social media in covering the news and politics today? I'd be curious, Dr. Chambliss, again, can I go to you? Do you like the trend? Is it a plus or a minus for media and for democracy?
It's a definite plus. We have an experiment in democracy. If you believe in inclusion rather than exclusion, you believe in the expansion of the First Amendment, if you believe in holding public officials who hopefully exercise good judgment on our behalf in our absence at our expense, then yes, you want every kind of possible technology covering this the practice of public affairs and lawmaking.
And that goes back to the word used at the very beginning, the word openness. Anybody else with a contrary opinion of or a supporting opinion of social media? Yes, sir, please.
Yeah, I just kind of view that all these little bits of information kind of hurt our critical thinking. They're kind of, it's more just for pizzazz and whatnot. I don't think people get a full, picture of the things that they're covering. And it's easier to bias those opinions. But
that's great. Okay. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? How do you get your news?
From NPR.
Okay. Good. Okay. Can I see a show of hands? How many people read newspapers in this room? Really? That's great. That's wonderful. And just as a guy coming from Washington, what newspapers do you all read? Really? New York Times. Okay. Very interesting. For those who said New York Times, online, subscription, print, how do you read it? Both? Paid subscription, New York Times? Student, is it? It's free on campus. Really? Okay. Do you like reading the New York Times? Okay. Do you feel that everything you need to know, or not everything, but a substantial amount, comes from the New York Times? Do you trust the New York Times?
Not always.
Okay. Okay. But enough that you read it every day? Is that the case? Very interesting. Did you grow up reading the New York Times?
I started reading it when I got into college because it's free on campus.
Gotcha. If it weren't free on campus, would you buy the New York Times?
I'd probably
go online. Go online and get it for free. Okay. Interesting. That's very interesting. Actually, I want to stop hearing myself talk. Anybody else have that kind of experience? And as news consumers or as the learned academic set here, the direction of the media, print, online, NPR is a great example of radio still being used. How NPR, the gentleman, is he who listened to NPR? Oh, he left? Okay.
He stepped out.
He stepped out, okay. Any other examples of, yes?
I use Wall Street Journal.
Really?
Yeah. And I've got an app on my iPad, and I get the print sent to my home, but that's kind of, because they have, it's not just financial, like they have a whole section of like national stuff as well.
Okay.
So.
This is great to hear. I mean, I'm in TV, but I love to hear the people still using newspapers. How many of you rely on Twitter or Facebook for your news? Yeah? Okay. Tell me why.
A variety of things. It's just convenient.
Who are some of the people you follow for your news?
I follow New York Times, MSNBC, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post.
Interesting.
And CNN.
So you mentioned the big media, but you're doing it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. Anybody else? Curious? Okay. Is there 2 minutes left? Is that okay? I want to kind of wrap up in some kind of soaring words of counsel or advice. And I'm not sure, I'm trying to get a feel for, do you want touring news as counsel or job career advice or how to make it in media or just what's happening in Washington? Are there any other questions on anybody's mind? I do have some soaring words of wisdom I can impart, but I don't want to do that if there's any other questions. All right, let me say this to everybody here. You guys are great, and you're here. You're at a great moment in time. As a news junkie and news consumer, there are so many tools out there to really practice your craft that didn't exist 3-4 years ago, let alone 10 or 15 years ago. And I think it's great, the explosion in different media platforms, and I love hearing so many of them being named here today. It all goes back to the openness. It all goes back to, you know, not being, to finding your own sources of information and then using that. And as you go on as students, you know, it's combining the appreciation of technology and the applications with knowledge. I so wish I could be back in school and sitting where you are and just learning. I went to the University of Maryland in the 80s. I always feel like I could have done more in my life than the University of Maryland in the 80s. And it's, there's a lot more to offer. So my words here are just really enjoy your time here in school. Learn as much as you can. Learn both sides, how to do it, but also the history and the politics and what is happening. Don't be afraid to turn on C-SPAN. You don't have to report to me. If you don't, it's okay. But don't be afraid to tune in and see what your government is up to. Feel free to throw up your hands of frustration if you don't like it. Take to Twitter and be upset with politics, or cheer them on if you think what they're doing is great. But do use the tools. Do learn. There are people now, if you're pursuing a career in media, who are making a name for themselves just by sleuthing out video and finding aha moments. And there are great sites like BuzzFeed and others who their whole model is based on, and even Huffington Post, are based on finding moments of video and exposing them and showing them. And it's a great moment in technology. Thank you all. Rebecca, any other questions?
Yeah, do we have any other questions? We have time for one more.
Okay, time for one more.
No?
Yes, sir, please, yes.
You mentioned some shock at people still reading newspapers. I happen to work for one, so I'm curious to know, what do you see as the future of newspapers? Give me your take on that.
Sure. What newspaper?
The Deseret News.
Oh, good. Okay. You guys were the first online, too, as I recall. You were one of the early adopters of that. Yeah. It's no secret what these are tough times. And I'll tell you something. I know a lot of people in Washington who cover politics who have scrambled for jobs. And it's not to go the traditional route, that traditional route of spending 20 years working as an AP stringer covering crime in Joliet, Illinois. It's a different career path now. Now the career path is acquiring the skills. I mean, you're a photog, so you know you've got a real marketable skill that's always going to be needed. It's the reporters in a world of shrinking storylines, thank you, and news budgets, and it's advertiser driven. You know, I don't think the news media has really recovered from, let alone the real estate, the financial crisis from the dot-com bust back in 2000 when advertising rates, when advertising dollars went down. And in the end, you know, it's capitalism. It's, you know, it's these newspapers, many of them are suffering, and the reporters are suffering. And there's good reporters out there who need to retrain themselves and need to go to online sites as a place to practice their craft. And it's, you know, it's been a long time since it's been the heady days of I saw a stat, oh, gosh, the number of two newspapers. I mean, it's great. I mean, Deseret and Salt Lake Tribune, but you know, you saw the end of the Rocky Mountain News in Colorado, one newspaper town, and so many of those. Seattle's a great, yeah. Yeah. Real, like the news, the intelligence, I mean, like really, you know, legacy and brands and names not being there. And it's unfortunate. 5 minutes left. Thank you. It's unfortunate for the news consumers to not have that kind of competitive spirit anymore. You know, we're where reporters might play it safe, or the media, you know, the newspapers might play it safer because there's no competitive threat. There's also less, you know, you don't want to be under litigation. You know, you don't want to be, you know, exposing yourself without the competitive pressure. So, no, it's tough times. That's why I love hearing students who read newspapers, keeping them alive. I love print. I mean, I love all the media that we mentioned here. How long have you been with the Deseret News now?
Well, I've been with Deseret for 5 years. Before that, I was with Ogden and Standard Sharing.
Okay.
It seemed like the Ogden papers really is on. They're kind of, in my opinion, they're doing a little bit better than the rest of the newspapers in Utah in branding themselves online with Facebook. I don't follow Twitter as much, but I follow Facebook all the time. And they're always consistently putting out. They're not really putting new content on Facebook. They're just putting the future stories that they have.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, check tomorrow or check right now on this, you know, story.
Yeah.
In print and online. They're just direct. It's basically like a traffic, you know, go here.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Please join me in thanking Howard Mortman for an excellent forum.
Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie.